Good for you. Thanks for being here. Welcome those who've come since we started, and we trust you feel welcome and that you're blessed to be here and glad that you came. I'm going to repeat a story that I talked about last week because it's relevant to what I'm going to talk about tonight. So let's just bear with me. There are a lot of people here that weren't here last week. But we've just, as you know, been to Faith Camp a week back. Kingdom Faith's Faith Camp. It was the 19th one I've been to. I think Dot's 18th camp. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. It was probably the best that I can ever remember. I've never seen God do more spectacular things in people's lives. I've never seen people's lives change so dramatically in 5 short days. It really was absolutely magnificent. And there were things that were highlights for all of us. And I want to talk about one of the highlights that really, for me, just one I'll talk about now, but on one of the nights, one of the mornings in the move, which is where Dot and I served, and where Nathan and Naomi served, which is for young people between the age of 14 and 19, is it roughly? And they were kind of cool and reluctant, and as young people can be, you know, sort of don't want to get too involved. And this guy came to speak to us who was from Argentina. And for those of you who have heard of a guy called Carlos Anacondia, he's part of his ministry. So it's a ministry with some amazing renown on the earth. And this guy came in, and the particular church he's from has 25,000 people in it. And he was talking about the things that had happened in South America, in Argentina, particularly where he comes from. He talked about the life of Jesus amongst the people there, and he talked about his, I understand this because I come from Africa, but he said the kind of dark stuff is a lot more evident there than it is here in England. And coming from Africa, we can understand it. There's just a lot more dark stuff that you be aware of there. But living in England, we've pretty well sanitized most things. We don't even see dead bodies anymore. So, you know, pretty well, most people don't really even think that those things happen here, perhaps. And he said, but just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not here. They just have learned to hide themselves very well. And he said, the church in this country almost has to wake up to the fact that there's a darn enemy out there that's trying to remove your victory, trying to lie to you that you do not have the victory that you believe you have. And so often, the things that we think are little petty, oh, that's just my personality, or that's just a problem. I always battle to pray. Well, I battle to pray in tongues. I battle to read the word. It's all basically demonic activity, which is getting involved in stopping your ability to break through. And the only way you can break through is by recognizing the truth. Because Jesus said in John 8:32, when you know the truth you know that makes you free. And so when you can confront the lie with the truth, the lie has to back down because the light always invades the darkness. He talked about some spectacular things, like his wife was a total naughty girl, and she, at the age of 14, got saved. And she got saved and filled with the Spirit on the same moment, the same day, and for 3 months she was unable to speak anything but tongues. So for 3 months she spoke in tongues all the time. And he says now his wife can speak her tongues, she'll speak in tongues, she'll speak fluent German, fluent French, and fluent English. And it's just one of the tongues, and that's, if you look in the book of Acts, at Pentecost, the people hearing the disciples said, we hear them declaring the praises of God in our own languages. So you speak in tongues in known languages as well as unknown ones. But something really struck me about this guy, and that is this unshakable belief that you've got to push through if you're going to take all of what belongs to you. You can't sit and be passive about what is yours. Because if you are, you tend to not get hold of it. And at one time, he called the people up. I've never seen these young guys transform that rapidly in my life. But at one point, he called them to come forward if they meant business with God. And literally 100% of these cool teenagers went running to the front to go and give themselves back to Jesus, or for the first time. And these kids were just, you know, encountering God. And then he started to pray for healing for different people, different categories of people in the room. For those of you who know Simon Breaker, who comes here quite a bit and goes to the Commonwealth Church quite a bit, his daughter Ruth, I've known for many years, and Ruth was born with a cast in one of her eyes. So one of her eyes looked that way. And she was blind in it. It had no sight at all. And during that time, he specifically started praying for people's sight. And in a moment, Ruth's eye came to the front, and she got 100% vision in it. And, you know, it was like nobody laid hands on her. This guy just stood in the front praying this. But there was this electrifying release in the room where you knew God was in this place, and God was going to do something here which was going to be extraordinary. And you better sit up and take notice, because this is God is right here now. And you know, there was this refusal to take the place of failure. It's the refusal to accept that the enemy's going to take the victory in this place. And he did something which theologically I do not understand, but anyway, he did this. And he told the young people that the enemy is under their feet. And so this is the theological issue. So he said, so I want you to start stomping on the enemy. So all these 400 young people are standing there stomping on the enemy. And, you know, he must have got the message, because he backed off and they got set free. And, you know, I saw something really interesting, because in our kind of society, the way we live and what happens to us, we actually very often don't fully understand that we're living in a war zone. We think we're living in a kind of a cool zone. And in the cool zone, everything's cool. But actually, you're living in a war zone. And in a war zone, no different than when the British troops were in Afghanistan, you don't just go for a stroll on a Sunday afternoon because you felt like a little walk. You don't, in fact, go outside without full kit, full armor, protection, and a platoon of people with you to make sure you're safe, and somebody to sniff at dogs, and somebody else to go and look for landmines in front of you and disarm them and all the rest of it. It's no different in this kingdom. Because there is a dark force that wants to stop the release of what God has planned. I want you to know there is not one disease on the earth that is a natural occurrence. It is darkness manifesting itself in all kinds of ways. And I want to say something to you here. I don't believe for one moment that Jesus sends diseases on people, because he doesn't use the devil's tools to accomplish what he wants. But I do believe that he has allowed the enemy to walk to and fro upon the earth for a time. And that enemy is still doing damage, and there are still demonic things going on in this world, and it's time for us to wake up to what's going on. It's time for us to take the fight to where the fight belongs and stand on the victory that does belong to you. And I know that you can intellectualize this and get involved in all kinds of theologies which say you don't have to do it. Then I want to say, why are we not seeing the sick being healed? Why are we not? When did you last see a demon flying out of anybody's life? Yet if you look in Jesus' ministry, it was going on all the time. And we don't see that, because we don't do that kind of thing here. We kind of keep the safe stuff. We kind of don't do the untidy stuff. We keep it all fun and neat and nice. And I was reading this morning in 2 Kings chapter 13 about the king of Israel, and the prophet Elisha was ill with the disease from which he eventually died. And I don't know what that is. And the king comes to Elisha and he says, my father, the horsemen or chariots and horsemen of Israel. And, you know, he's grieved that he's dying, and he's the one who can help them have their victories. And Elisha says, get a bow and arrows. And he gets some arrows and he says, open the east window. And he opens the east window and he says, shoot an arrow. And Elisha puts his hands on the king's hands as he draws the bow, and he fires the arrow. And Elisha says, the Lord's arrow of victory to defeat the Amalekites that are coming against you. Then he says to Eliab, to the king, he says, take the arrows that are remaining and strike the ground with them. And after three strikes, the king stops, and Elisha's angry. And he says, if you had struck it 5 or 6 times, you would have totally annihilated your enemy. But now you will only defeat them in this one battle, but they will come back. And they did. And there's this sense where, how silly, standing here with a bunch of arrows whacking the ground. I mean, really? Are you serious? Well, nobody's watching. I'll quickly do 3 and maybe it'll stop. But it cost him an awful lot to do that. It cost the nation a lot. And sometimes I think that we just don't know how to go to breakthrough. We just give up long before the victory comes. You know, for me, praying in tongues, I have to pray in tongues all the time because it's my breakthrough point. But you know, when I start so often, it is such a fight. It's such a battle. And I just don't feel like doing it. And I don't feel like keeping on. And I think, oh, this is not going to work. This is so hard. And I've had to train myself by fight to push through that barrier which says you can't. And suddenly you pass it. And suddenly you're in the clear area. And you're in the flow where you feel the victory around you and you begin to function according to the truth that Jesus gave you. And, you know, this morning it was very interesting. I woke up and had 5 thoughts, one after the other. And all 5 were things which I deeply regret and things which I regard as being personal failures in my life in the past. And the fact that all 5 popped into my head one by the other just made me feel like, not another one. And eventually I was sitting there thinking, hang on, why have I not had any other thoughts? Why have I just had the 5 bad thoughts this morning? Why are there just 5 bad thoughts that are here one by the other, off the other, to knock me down and cause me to buckle and give up? And I thought, oh, hang on, I'm preaching tonight. The church meets tonight. Ha! Now let's understand what's going on. So let's get the battle going. Let's start pushing back. And I started walking around, dot had gone out, and I started proclaiming who Jesus is. I started exalting Jesus over my life. I started declaring everything that Scripture reveals to me of who the Son of God is. And that I am in Christ, and Christ in me is the hope of glory, and he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And as I was proclaiming it, the power of the glory was just falling on me, and the bad stuff was just clearing out of the room. And I hit the breakthrough. Guys, there's a battle going on, and you live in a war zone. You can't behave like you're going on a picnic. It doesn't work. You gotta fight the fight. And if you don't fight the fight, you go under the fight. Now you can say, oh, but brother, all you gotta know is who you are in Christ. Well, that's true. But then I've got to jolly well remind myself when I'm thinking 5 bad things about myself. I can remind myself of who I am in Christ and what he has achieved for me on the cross and how much his victory means to my life, or I will not go past it. I will stay in the place where I'm being opposed. And so, just the way it is here in most Fridays for us, and we just have to remember this. But I've come to understand something. God has intended that you and I, you know, this morning we were singing, this evening rather, we were singing that amazing song, right at the beginning, the Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh, and the great I Am, He is Yahweh. The 3-in-1, He is Yahweh. We're singing about His attributes. We were singing about the power, the glory, the magnificence of God, the spectacular victory of Jesus. And the thing I want to say to you tonight, quite simply this, all of that is living in you right now. Not because you feel like it, because God says He is. The truth is that Christ in you is the hope of glory. All the victory of the risen Christ is located in you. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. That's your status. The trouble is most of the time we don't feel like it, and our feelings dictate our victory. And our feelings are a pretty lousy barometer. Because I can feel one thing in the morning and something completely different in the evening about things. If I were to base my position in Christ on what I felt, I would have a hopeless, hopeless time living in any kind of victory. And I just want to say to you, you know, there's some of us here that have just been kicked in the teeth by the enemy for too long. They're just, you know, some of us have just lived in the sub place of never walking in all the power of God, all the victory of Christ, because we've basically allowed the enemy to thump us into that position and say, that's where you're staying. But God wants to lift you and me out of that place by reminding us of who we are and what He has done for us. You know, it's really interesting. About 6 years ago, no, probably five, we were asleep, Dot and I, and I heard this loud voice in the room, a male voice. And it simply said this: you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And I shot up in bed, and I thought it was clearly a male voice, and Dot was asleep, so it couldn't have been her. And she doesn't have a male voice. And I realized that I'd heard the audible voice of God in the room, or an angel had come to say that in the room. And I couldn't go to sleep. I was absolutely overwhelmed, because it's John 1:51, basically, when Jesus says to Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. You will see heaven open. And I always thought that that was a future event which was to take place. And I hoped one day I would see this. I thought, oh, let it be that one day I will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. And then we were at Faith Camp this week, and Andy Elms preached so many great things. And he said something, he referred to the scripture in Genesis 28, from verse 10, when Jacob has to flee from Beersheba from his brother, because his brother has stolen his brother's birthright, anointing, Esau, his brother Esau, and he had to flee because his brother wanted to do him in. And he was on the run, and he got to this place for the night, and he went to sleep, and he put his head on a rock, and they were really tough men in those days. You know, give me a rock to sleep on. And he slept on the rock, and he put his head down, and in the night he had a dream. And this dream is really interesting, and it says that as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Here he is running as a fugitive from his brother, because his brother's angry with him. And he has a sleep on this rock, whether it's the rock or the pits he had the night before, not sure. But he has this awesome dream. And in this dream, he gets this revelation from God. And it's just him, and maybe he had a couple of servants with him. I don't know, but certainly not all as numerous as the dust of the earth. And he wakes up, and he takes that rock, and puts the rock up, and he pours some olive oil on the rock, and he makes this statement, and he says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely God is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. Guys, most of the time, you and I are not even aware that God is in you. Most of the time you think it's me going through my daily little chores of life, battling my usual little battles, dealing with my usual temptations, my usual irritations, my usual rubbish of my life, and the occasional good moment. But actually, it's not just you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The living God sits there inside you, participating in every single thing you and I are doing, and keeps loving us. Isn't that awesome? And he comes along, and he sees this happening, and Jacob realizes at that moment that God is with him in that place. He says, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. And Andy really gave us a great understanding and insight, because Jesus talked about the open heaven that was coming, which he achieved when he died and rose again. He talked about the angels ascending and descending. Jesus becomes the stairway between earth and heaven. I want you to know something tonight. Behind you right now is a stairway ascending up into heaven, Jesus. And angels of God are ascending and descending. When you lay your hands on sick, somebody to pray for them, you can either lay hands on them as you, or you can lay hands on them as the one who possesses the presence of the living God. The stairway of heaven, it comes right out to your life. So wherever you go, I go, you are the gateway of heaven, because the stairwell ends the back of you. Jesus in you, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is revealing himself through you. And you know, there are so many places in this world that are filled with darkness and misery and an absence of Jesus. And he's looking for people who are prepared to go and be the gateway of heaven. This world is crying out for the gateway. People are crying out for the reality of heaven on the earth. People are crying out right now in broken, destitute, painful, horrific circumstances. And you and I are the gateway of heaven. We can take the gateway of heaven into the most appalling situation and begin to transform it because of what is already going on in your life. That staircase goes all the way down into your life. And the angels of God ascend and descend on that staircase. You can go and lay hands on somebody as you, or you can go and lay hands on them as somebody who is the gateway of heaven. Somebody who's releasing all of heaven into people's lives. And that makes the big difference to what you impart to people's lives and what is possible. If you and I will only keep our minds clear on what this is. And you know, I just see that anyone who is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, carries the presence of Jesus into whatever situation you're in. I want you to know something. When you are in a bit of a miserable place and you're sitting there thinking, how am I going to cope? I haven't got enough money, or nobody likes me, or I haven't got a holiday, or I don't feel well, or somebody didn't speak to me the way I wanted to them to. You are the gateway of heaven. It actually doesn't matter what people are doing around you. You are there to change the way the people are. You know, some of you are working in, you know, just described to me where you work in the most difficult circumstances you work in. You work among sick people, old people, and you are the gateway of heaven to those people. Heaven comes through you into those people's lives. You are the one who can reveal. Do you know what? There is no one else on the earth who can reveal heaven to them, because God doesn't come and work in them except through you and I. So you got to understand that the gateway of heaven has got to go into places where people are desperately miserable and without him. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people can meet you for the first time, I'm talking about, and they just seem really hostile towards you, they just seem angry towards you, and they don't want to really talk, be friendly with you. Have you ever noticed that? I'm thinking, why are they like this? I understand why. Because the one that's controlling their life is really unhappy that you turned up. The gateway of heaven is working, guys. And you and I have got to work with it. And you and I have got to cause the glory of Jesus to begin to flow out of our lives into negative, dark situations so that people can get set free and people can understand where the glory really comes from. You know, brings me to the obvious thought. I mean, think about it. There are how many people here? About 20-something people, 30 maybe. 30 gateways of heaven in one place right now. Think about what could happen if we truly understood what it meant to right now be revealing God right now in this place. Maybe like an atomic explosion. It'll be awesome when the gateway of heaven gets to work, when the power of God gets to get released through our lives. Think about it when you're walking down the street, when you leave this place tonight. You're a gateway. Jesus is standing there making his appeal through you and me. Jesus is standing there wanting to heal through you and me. He's wanting to deliver. He's wanting to set free through you and me. The gateway of heaven has the power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. The gateway can do all of that. On my own, I can't do any of them. And that's really what Jesus wants you and I to take all of tonight. And sometimes, you know, it's really, sometimes we say a lot of stuff because we're nervous and we can't think of anything to say, so we blurt out stuff like, in the name of Jesus, in, and we shout all this stuff. You don't need to do that. You can just release what is in you. You can just release what you already are. And the more we train ourselves to understand that we are the gateway of heaven, the more we understand what God wants to do through us. I remember back in South Africa years ago, I was on a medical trial. This was a job I did, and they were doing tubal ligations, which are female sterilization on these women in very rural situations. And I mean, it was really rural, and these ladies would all come and turn up, and they'd get a little couple of injections, and they'd give them some, and then they'd put them on this table, and then they would do this procedure. And this one woman came into the room. And as she saw me, and I was just standing there, I was dressed the same as everybody else. Nobody would have known I was any different. They were trying out some of the products I was developing. And as she came into the room, she put herself against the wall, and these eyes of whites were showing, and she was wild on her face. And I thought, what is wrong with this woman? Why is she so upset? And if I stepped there, she walked that way. And so I walked really far because I was obviously upsetting her. And they got her on the table and they started the procedure. But the whole time, she was looking over the top of it to see me, where I was going. So I thought, this is really cool. This is amazing what was happening. So I went and I just had a little look at her records. And it said, profession, witch doctor. I said, okay, I get it. But you see, I didn't tell her anything. I wasn't singing choruses. I wasn't shouting scriptures at her. I was just being the gateway of heaven. I was actually not even thinking about being the gateway of heaven. I was busy getting my trial to work. I was busy watching to see what was going to go wrong. The gateway goes on all the time, despite us. But when we begin to cooperate with the gateway, it begins to change hugely things around our lives. So at this time, God has an outrageous plan for you and me. God did never formulate ordinary plans when you and I got saved. He looked at your life, no matter where it was, and he didn't say, well, that's a bit of a dull one. I think I'll just hope I get them through in the end and leave it there. From the moment you got saved, listen, he's seated with you, with his Son, Christ Jesus, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. That's your stature. It's not where you're sitting right now. But when he seated you there, he gave you authority. He gave you the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He gave you the ability to cast out demons. He gave you those abilities. And he looked at your life and he said, with me, in her or in him, nothing is impossible. There is nothing that cannot be achieved. There is nothing I can't do, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he looks at your life today, and I just want to say this with loads of love, but here we are at the start of a new academic year in about a month's time. So, you know, I come to learn in England, we kind of work things from roughly September, it all kicks off and goes through to the end of to August. But I want you to understand something. I don't want to get to this time next year and still be here where I am. And I want to be amongst you. But I don't want to be position. I don't want an achievement. I achieved only what I've achieved thus far. I don't want to see only what I've seen thus far. If I haven't seen something more dramatic than this, then I'm really disappointed. But I have a part to play in this. I can decide I'm going to stay here. And I want to say this to you. There are some people here that have got stuff in your lives that you know the Lord is saying, deal with it. You're saying, the Lord is saying, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's holding you back. It's stopping you from achieving what I have a plan for you to achieve. Get rid of it so that you can walk in it. Walk in all that I've got for you. And tonight the Lord says, come on. He's giving you an opportunity. And there is nothing too hard for the Son of Man to deal with. There is nothing that he cannot deal with if you and I want him to deal with it. But I want you to know, I don't want to sit here, to be standing here next year, preaching this word and hoping it'll be a different year for each one of us. I want to know that each one of us saw a different year. I want you to come back and I want you to say, you know, can I testify? Gosh, you know, demons are coming out of all kinds of places. The captives are being set free. People are getting healed wherever I go. This is the most incredible place to be. I live the most awesome life. mostly we don't believe me. Mostly we think that's just what he feels. But actually, I believe that if you want it, you can have it. Because the only thing stopping you and me from living in everything that Jesus intended you is what we choose to believe or not believe. If I choose to believe, it's going to be tough. God's going to send all kinds of oppositions because he doesn't like my personality. And he doesn't like me. And he's going to keep me short of money. And he's going to give me flu regularly in the next 6 months. And he's just going to give me no friends. And nobody's going to really be pleased I turned up anywhere. And I'm just going to be miserable. And I'll have no food at home except a bag of crisps. Bag of crisps. I don't know why I thought of that. Actually, I wouldn't mind. But the point is, if that's all we're going to think, we'll just be back here next year again. But I'd like to believe that this time next year, we won't even be here in this building. I'd like to believe that we will be more relevant than this. I'd like to believe that we are a little bit more relevant than a once-a-week meeting. I'd like to believe that as a people, we're actually doing the work of the kingdom. We're turning people's lives around. We are literally releasing captives. We are playing great music, but we're realizing the power of our music and the anointing of the gateway of heaven has great power to change even empty chairs and put them full of people. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Just sing of your barrenness and see what I can do about it. You sing because you're convinced of who he is and what he has done. You have a choice tonight, guys, just like I have. He didn't save you for ordinary. He didn't bring you out of darkness to just get by. He saved you because he knew what he is capable of doing through you. If you will allow him, if you will dare to believe him, if you will dare to say, enough, enough, you've had your day in my life, and I'm not putting up with this anymore because I don't have to. You know, when I was reading the other day about Jesus when he turned up at the region of the Gerasenes and that a demonized man came to him. And it's fascinating because the guy said to him, our name is Legion, for we are many, which means the guy was rotten with demons. And you know what? They kept saying to Jesus, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? What's that say to you? That even they know who he is. And then they begged him, please don't send us into the abyss now. Because once they're in the abyss, they're finished. They can have no more power. And they said, send us into that herd of pigs. And you know what? Jesus didn't shout at them. He just said to them, go. And they left in a moment. That same power is at work in your life now. The same power. You are not a victim. You are victorious in Christ. I loved reading Acts chapter 5 this morning. And the apostles were doing all these great things in Jerusalem. And Peter's shadow was falling on people. There you are, Charlotte. Get something from me. And people were being healed by the shadow of Peter. And something amazing happens. The guys in the Sanhedrin, the top religious guys are really offended at them, and they're teaching in the name of Jesus, and they say, we don't like you doing this, so they throw them into jail. So that tonight, during the night, an angel turns up in jail. He says, hey, I know what my God's plans for you are. So he sent me to come and let you out of jail because he wants you to carry on. So he unlocks the jail, gets them past the jailers, and they go out. And the angel says, go back into the temple courts and continue teaching. So they go back there. The next morning, the religious leaders send their guards, go fetch these men. We're going to deal with them this morning. They get there and they say, we don't understand it. All the guards are still there. The doors are all locked. But there's nobody there. They're gone. And then somebody else comes back saying, they're back in the temple courts teaching. And these guys get brought back before these guys. And they go, you guys are turning this city upside down, polluting it with your teaching. guys, I want you to start turning your worlds upside down. I want you to turn your world upside down. I want you to change your world. You're not there to be a victim under your world. You're there to change it. Because Jesus is not changed by the circumstances. He's just changed because we won't let him loose. We just keep the door shut behind us. The gate shut. Jesus, you're not going to get out of me. But in actual fact, they get flogged. And what do? They go back on the streets and just keep doing it. They just keep preaching. And they rejoice that they could suffer for the name of Jesus. Guys, I don't want to stay here. I don't mind if I'm going to get flogged if I'm going to be able to see what they saw. I just don't want to stay here and just be me and do what I do for another year. This is your turn. Some of you are finishing university, starting new courses. Some of you are going into the next year. What's this year going to be like? Some of you are going to turn your year older. What's that going to be like for you? Some of you are going to start a new job. What's it going to be like for you? Are you just going to battle the same thing? Or do you believe something different is going to happen this year? Because I don't believe it's going to stay the same if you don't believe it. So, here we are. Jesus, here we are. Here we are, Jesus. And here you are. You have opened heaven for us. The gateway is now in each of our lives. The only thing that's stopping you from fulfilling all that you plan to is our unbelief. Our decision to believe the devil and the facts rather than believing you. We choose tonight to make a decision, Jesus. We choose to say, we're opening the gate wide. We ask you to invade our lives with all of heaven tonight. We ask you to invade us like never before. Lord, we don't want to go to heaven now on trips. I don't want to go to heaven, not yet. But Lord, I just sense there's so many people are worrying about going to heaven when instead we're meant to be bringing heaven to earth. Jesus, you taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So now I ask you, Jesus, come and show each one of my brothers and sisters here what it means if they would allow heaven to truly work in their lives. Lord, I want to see people get upset with us. I want to see people get angry just because we're in the room. I want to see other people just become strangely quiet and peaceful. I ask you to reveal to us the extent of the authority you've placed within us. That when demons start up, we don't have to get afraid. We'll say, be quiet! And they will be silent. Because we walk in the authority of Jesus. Father, I ask, turn us around from tonight. Lord, turn us our lives around. Lord, I ask that you will break every lie of the devil off every life in this room tonight. I come against every deceiving thought, every negative thought, every lie. Even those who are irritated by what I'm saying right now, I want you to know there's a demon that doesn't want you to hear this. And I come against that in Jesus' name and I say, be still. We don't receive your lies. And tonight I break every deceiving thought of every person in this room. And I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, you will be silent, enemy. You will take your position as the defeated one. For Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus has triumphed in our lives. And we will walk in that victory. And I thank you. My prayer tonight, Lord God, is birth in us a revelation of who we are in Christ like never before. Birth in us a revelation of what it means to be in Christ Jesus. Birth in us a true understanding that we will become dangerous people who turn our city upside down for the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to break bread in a moment. Now, what we do is we We break bread as believers in Jesus Christ. And you shouldn't do it if you don't believe He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we break bread as a sense to remember what He has done. We also break bread in order to fully appreciate and understand what that means for us. We break bread to remind ourselves that His blood has washed away every sin. We also break bread to remind ourselves that we are now part of Christ's body. And I want to say to you tonight, there is no such thing as someone that is not part of the body. We are all meant to be in the body of Christ. We need to celebrate the church. It's time for the church to arise and become what the church is meant to be. And not live under the cloud of well, we need to go and start other groups because the church doesn't fulfill those. And Father, the cry of my heart tonight, take hold of Kingdom Faith London and make it what you want it to be. Make it what you define it to be. Make it what you decree, Jesus. Let us do what you want, not what we want. Let it be, let your will be done, not ours. But all I ask is that as it is in heaven, will be going on in this place. So as we break this bread, drink this cup, we remember that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And we also remember that this is about the body of Jesus Christ. We need to accurately discern the body. We are part of the body of Christ. You need to belong somewhere. You can't drift around loosely attached. You have to be part of the body. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I ask now that as we share this meal, you will set our lives on a course of discovering who we are in Christ. And forever, Lord, I ask that we will forever walk in who you define us to be. Not as our background, not as our childhood, not as our parents' failed attempts, but according to who you say. Let that be the defining word over our lives. Who does Christ say we are?